Happy Father's Day to each and every one who's here today. It's a beautiful day, absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed the trip up here today. Looked like it had been some storms in the night, though. There were limbs blown down, and they had quite a rain in Springfield. I don't know whether you knew that or not, but they had some flash flooding in the Springfield area. I'm headed that way after services this morning. I have orders from my children to appear in Springfield this afternoon. So I will be moving in that direction, and appreciate you keeping me in your prayers as I head that direction here after a little while. Debbie, Elizabeth, that was a really good song. I appreciate your using your talents for the Lord and blessing us with the message. And we certainly do want the Lord's presence in our services. Bible says that the Lord's here. And so we're glad that you've chosen to spend this time together with us. This good brother and sister over here just barely made it to church today. They have a flat tire on their van as they pulled in. So we're glad they're here, and we want to help them after the services to attend to that calamity. But you're in a good place. And when they say, what is it they say? If you're sick, you need to be in a hospital. And if you need help, there's no better place than the church. Amen? And that's what we're all about. In fact, the Lord willing, and if it all works out after the end of this month, I'll be preaching a message on it's entitled, Why the Church? And talking about the relevancy of the church. And the relevancy of the church today to America is so important. And so if that's what the Lord intends, then that's what He will do. Our text of Scripture today takes you back a couple of weeks to the message I preached entitled, God Looketh on the Heart, Part 1. And so this is part two today, God Looketh Upon the Heart. And I thought about preaching a Father's Day message, and I realized when I got to thinking about the message part two, God Looketh on the Heart, this is a good subject for fathers to think about and fathers to be involved in. And if anything, I want when God looks on my heart, and should be the case with every father that's present, a grandfather, that the Lord is pleased with what He sees. I mean, we really need to have a good heart. And we want that to be that way in the sight of the Lord. And so this message is applicable to fathers this day. And so I am preaching the Father's Day message and didn't know it. And so take your Bibles out, turn to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and we'll read our text, and then we'll get back to the message that we started to preach to you. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And we'll be looking at several verses there. And you see it here on the screen. And follow along with me. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. And this is God's will concerning the selection of a king to replace King Solomon. Not King Solomon. King Saul in the Scriptures when the children of Israel were ruled by a king. And Saul was to be replaced. Saul had failed in his role as a king, and God had a different one in mind to be king of Israel, and we'll see that here in our text. Beginning with verse 1 and reading on down through verse 13. Follow along with me. Now the Lord said to Samuel, let's see, that's starting at a different verse, isn't it? Where's that starting? Oh, that starts with verse 5. Okay, let's go back. Let's start at verse 5. And he said, "In peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice, because God's going to pick one of the sons to be king. And it came about when they entered that he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, this is the prophet Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Now that's the crucial verse that we're going to be looking at today. "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.'" So Abinadab's out. "Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.'" So Shammah's out. "Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are these all the children?' And he said, 'There remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep.' Then Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here.' So," in verse 12, "he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is he.' And Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David for that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah." So God picked young David to be the king of Israel after Saul. And it's a significant thing that it says in the Scriptures that he passed the test of the Lord, because the Lord looks upon the heart. And the Lord considers the heart of a man and his evaluation of us. The Lord looketh upon the heart. So today I want you to think about that as we study together. But before we pray, I have a story to tell you. And we have chosen this story. It's a cute little story. This 4-year-old girl was at the pediatrician office for a checkup. As the doctor looked into her ears with a otoscope, he asked, "Do you think I'll find Big Bird in here?" And the little girl stayed silent. She didn't say a word. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor and he looked down her throat. And he asked, "Do you think I'll find the Cookie Monster down here?" And again, the little girl was silent. She didn't say a word. Then the doctor put a stethoscope to her chest, and as he listened to her heartbeat, he asked, "Do you think I'll hear Barney in here. And the little girl responded this time. After a little while, replied, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear. I thought that was pretty cute. Jesus is in my heart, but Barney's on my underwear. I'm not going to ask you who's on your underwear this morning, but I am curious to know how your heart is. And we're going to talk about that together in this message. But we need to pray first. So let's pray. Oh Lord, it's my prayer that our heart is acceptable in your sight. And we want to be right in your sight. Lord, it matters to us and it matters to you and to your kingdom. And for the sake of our families this day, I pray that you will look down upon the fathers and the grandfathers and that you will see good hearts, men that are dedicated and devoted to you, committed to you, Lord, and that you will bless them and their families. We need good hearts in the hearts of our fathers across this land. So that is my prayer. I pray that we will be focused upon that today in your word and that your word will speak to our hearts. And we pray it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. A nurse in a pediatric ward, before listening to the little one's heartbeat, would plug a stethoscope into their ears and let them listen to their own hearts beat. Bump, 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 bump. And that fascinated the young kids. Their eyes would light up with awe, but she never got a response to equal 4-year-old David's comment. She tucked the stethoscope gently into his ears and placed the little dish over his heart. Listen, she said, what do you suppose that is? He drew his eyebrow together in a puzzled line and he looked up as if lost in the mystery of the strange tap, tap, tapping deep in his chest. And then his face broke out in a wondrous grin and he asked, is that Jesus knocking? Is that Jesus knocking? You probably remember the picture of Jesus standing at the door of your heart and knocking, hoping that you will answer and open the door. Have you ever noticed in that painting that there is no door handle on the outside of the door? For you see, the point of the artist was biblical in its meaning. Or the point of the handle being on the inside of the door made it clear that you must open the door of your heart to let him come in. And indeed, that's what the Bible says. For it says in Revelation, the 3rd chapter and verse 20, it says, here am I. I stand in the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. God looks on the heart of man. What does he see? I pray that he finds the right kind of heart in each one of us. And I want to talk to you this morning about several different characteristics of a godly heart as we study this together. Now last week, that I spoke to you, it's actually been 2 weeks ago, about God looking upon the heart. We talked about how He needs to see the plan of salvation heart when He looks on our heart. And we talked about how you accept the Lord and how the heart is involved in that process. And that we need a trusting, believing heart, and we need a repentant heart, and we need a confessing heart, and we need a baptism heart in order to be in Christ and be acceptable in His sight. And so that is the first part of the heart that God is interested in. He's interested in, have you met Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? And do you have the Lord in your heart? Do you have Jesus as the Lord of your life and Jesus as the Savior of your heart? Then that's the first important thing. Well, the second thing that I would mention to you, and I've just got about three things that I want to talk to you about here on the heart. But the second characteristic of the heart that the Lord needs to see in us is, and by the way, just because you're not a father this morning or a grandfather doesn't mean this message is not meant for you. It's meant for everybody who's sitting here. So it's for the men, it's for the ladies, and we want our heart to be right in the sight of God. Amen? And so the first point that I want to bring to your attention this morning is this. A pure heart pleases God. Now the Bible says, it says in the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter and verse 10, it says this. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the psalmist's plea. He wants to have a pure heart, a clean heart. It also says in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then in James, the book of James, the 4th chapter and verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The call of the Scriptures, you see, is for us to have a clean and pure heart. And so, you should understand that when I say to you that Jesus died to make men holy, that that's what it's all about. We need to have holy lives, holiness, purity in our life, because holiness and purity are congruous in the Scriptures. They fit together. They flow together. There were two theological students were walking along a street in the Whitechapel district of London. It was a section where old and used clothing was sold. And what a fitting illustration this is for what we're talking about in the purity of heart. One noticed a window sign in one of the stores as they were walking down. He said, he pointed to a suit of clothes hanging on a rack by a window and a sign on it which read, slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price. You know, we get soiled by grazing on vulgar sights. We get slightly soiled by reading a coarse book. We get slightly soiled by allowing ourselves a little indulgence in dishonesty or lustful thoughts. So when the time comes for our character to be appraised, we are greatly reduced in value and our purity and our strength is gone. Do you know how to trap an ermine? Do you even know what an ermine is? It is a fur-bearing animal. They have beautiful pure white fur, and they're highly sought after, more than mink. Their elusive mink-like characteristics. They're like just like a mink in their behavior. Hunters will locate. Here's how they trap an ermine. the hunters will locate a burrow hole entrance to its home. And what they will do is they will smear the entrance with all kinds of muck and filth. And then they turn the dogs loose. And they chase the ermine, which races to its burrow entrance. And the little animal will turn, I'm told, will turn and fight to its death rather than to soil its beautiful, pristine fur. I would pray that you would be that way. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Would you maintain that holiness is an important thing and that God wants you to be holy at all costs? Would you fight to the death that the soil of your life would remain perfect in Him? Is your prayer, is your song, is your testimony, is your witness that important? Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness, holiness is what I need. I always sing the song, more like the Master I would ever be. More of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for work He bids me do. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More self-denial like His in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. The pure heart pleases God and patterns oneself after Master Jesus. And God, men and ladies, is pleased with a pure heart. Now, the second heart, and I have to go through this sermon. I've got these things not in order, and so consequently I'm having to go through my message here and find what I'm looking for. You know, when you get old, you can't remember nothing. And I apologize to you. I used to have my sermons memorized. I don't know whether that was a big deal or not, but I used to be able to stand up before people and just rip off what I was trying to say because I had a photographic mind. Well, I guess my Polaroid has broke, and my photographic mind is no longer there. I can remember some things, but most of the time I have to rely upon my notes. I apologize to you for that, but again, I don't apologize because I'm getting old and I can't help it. So, anyway, the second thing that I would mention to you about a heart that is acceptable in the sight of the Lord and should be character of our heart is the peace heart reconciles us to God. So the first one is purity, second one's peace, and the last one will be a P also. But here we're talking about the presence of God, which brings peace. I was thinking as I was traveling through the countryside that we just, you know, it just seems like our world's in conflict all the time. And it just seems like it, people just can't get along. And it seems like we have more of that trouble in America today than we've ever had before. And it seems like we can't do anything but argue back and forth and just can't seem to be at peace. And I think that the one of the reasons why that happens is because it starts with each individual. It starts with each person's heart in the sight of God. And if you're not at peace with God, and if you're not at peace in the peace of God in your heart, then you're going to have conflict. And it's going to be a problem all the time. It'll never get any better. But now let me talk about this just a little bit. Safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Did you get that? Jesus said that there'll be wars and rumors of wars all the time. He said it'd be that way during His ministry. He said it'd be that way in society. It'll be that way till He comes again. So we need to find the secret to peace in our lives in spite of the conflict that's going on all around us. And so we need to find the peace that Jesus brings, which is a special kind of peace. He said in John the 14th chapter and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The comfort, the protection, the security that comes with the God of peace is unbeatable. He is always there for us. He never sleeps, the Bible says. He never slumbers. And then, you can't beat this either. Jesus is our peace treaty with God. Because of sin, we're at war with God. Jesus has defeated Satan and won the victory over the grave, and He has paid for our sins, reconciling us to God. That is to bring back into peaceful terms with. We've been brought back into peaceful terms with God through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has washed our sins away through His sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether of things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your behavior, but now He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusations. Peace is not made on council tables or by treaties, but in the heart of men. Rest is not a hallowed feeling that comes over us in church. It is the repose of a heart set deep in God, dwelling down deep in the soul. There is what is called the cushions of the sea down beneath the surface, that is agitated with storms and driven about on the top by the winds. But there's peace down deep. There's a part of the sea that is never stirred. And when we dredge the bottom, we bring up the remains of animals and vegetable life, we find that they give evidence of not having been disturbed for hundreds and thousands of years. The peace of God in Jesus, that eternal calm which lies far too deep in the praying soul to be reached by all external disturbance. I don't care what's going on outside. I don't care what's going on all around me. I have the peace of Jesus down deep in my heart. And that's what matters most. Don't you see? So, a pure heart pleases God. And a heart at peace with God is also pretty important. Now that brings me to the last thing, if I can find it here. Ah, there it is. Pure heart, peace heart, patient heart. Now some of you don't want me to talk about this. And the reason why is you're impatient. You ever struggle with that in your life? I mean, some people are not very good at waiting. I don't like to wait on anything, do you? I mean, I want it right now. I don't want it later. I want it now. And we're just not very good at this thing called patience. But the patient heart waits on the Lord. Be patient. Be patient, friend. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Have you not heard that? The Bible says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalms 27, verse 14. Oh, we pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. How much we like like the little girl who, after several hours of fishing, threw her pole down and she cried, "I quit!" "What's the matter?" asked her daddy. "Nothing except I can't get waited on." Is that you? The purposes of God often develop slowly because His grand designs are never hurried as we are hurried. Where would we be if McDonald's hadn't come up with that instant this and instant that? I don't even like instant potatoes, do you? Great New England preacher Phillips Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet mannerisms. At times, however, even he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion and asked him, "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And that describes us. Much of the time, we pray for an answer, and it doesn't come. And it doesn't come. And it doesn't come. We pray for an answer, and He always answers. He says yes sometimes. He says no sometimes. He says the hardest thing of all sometimes, and that is wait a while. Patience means waiting on the Lord. Frank wasn't known for his patience, and he had absolutely no use for negative conversation. When he got a call from his wife during a busy day of work, she talked slowly and didn't seem very upbeat. Frank interrupted her, and he exhorted her to be brief and positive. She paused for a moment, and then she cheerfully replied, "I discovered the airbags in our new BMW will work." Think about that. We may be good and patient when things are going smoothly and positively, but when we encounter a test or a moment of crisis or a storm or a sickness or a disaster, what happens then? We lose our cool. And that's not cool. Be patient and let the Spirit intercede for you. Romans the 8th chapter, verses 25 through 27 are such good verses in the Bible. Listen to them. "But if we have hope for what we do not have yet, we wait patiently for it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that cannot be expressed. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in acceptance with God's will." That's a great verse, and you need to apply it to your lives constantly. And then, of course, this one great passage, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And I share it with you in closing, is this one. Isaiah 40. Verse 31, which says, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Don't you know that God wants your heart to be right in His sight? He looks on the heart. What does He see? I'd pray that He would see a pure heart in you. I pray that He would see a heart that's at peace with Him through Jesus. And what was the last one? Oh, yeah, patience. Patience. He would have you to have a patient heart. Wait on Him. It's invitation time, and I don't know what your need is. Maybe you have a need that you want to make known publicly. You know, most everyone's in this little group here that we have is already Christians. But we all want to renew our strength. You know, that's what it says, renew your strength. Every time we come to the Bible, we're renewing our strength. And studying God's Word brings us closer to Him and puts us on point again. And so, are you praying for this church? I mean, is it a daily matter with you and the Lord? I pray that it is. And I pray for you every day. Every day I go walking, I walk a mile and a half. And you're on my prayer list every single day. I pray for the Mansfield Christian Church that God will bring you to a person that will be able to assume ministry here and work with you. And I'm going to do what I can to encourage you. And I'm thankful to be here today. Let's stand as we sing this invitation song together, Near the Cross.